you say you have a magical prank show. Can you tell us a bit about it?
So essentially, it's me on stage for an hour and a half. So if you can put up with that, then you should come. No, I... That's what it is, really. It's kind of, it's magic. There's the odd sort of card trick in it. I have to, I guess. But the majority of the show is new stuff that I've come up with and, you know, I've been working on for years and years and years. And a lot of it is running through the sort of guise of me winding people up. So whether it's kind of, you know, hypnotising people to forget their girlfriend's names or, you know, getting people to destroy their phones or whatever. Obviously, magically bringing it back to life. That's kind of what I'm going for, because it's a very light-hearted show. It's a show that you just come to for a night out. You know, there's no Brexits and no sort of day-to-day. It's just you come out for a laugh, and it's written through that. So I don't put anything in the show that isn't funny or fun, you know, and that's essentially what the show is.
Okay. What... One of the big things of doing magic live as opposed to on YouTube is being able to interact with the audience. And for a prank show, you've got to be doing that even more than in a lot of others. So is that one of the big attractions of the stage for you, being able to talk to your audiences?
Yeah, kind of. I think the narcissism that I have is probably the main attraction for me being on stage. But the thing I love about it, and I really do love about it, is that the show's different every night. You know, it's kind of, I can go on and do the same thing and it be a completely different show, because the audience make up a lot of the show with their reactions and what they find funny. You know, and I have the odd person on stage, not that many people on stage, but I have the odd person on stage throughout the show, and their reactions are the bit that make it the funniest. You know, it's, for me as a performer, it's certainly the highest risk bit of what I do, you know, because people are unpredictable and you kind of have to be match ready to deal with that. But certainly the best parts of the show are the bits where the audience are interacting with it. You know, there's a thing I do in my show which is the whole audience. So the whole audience play along with it, and the whole audience, it's almost like they're immersed in the trick, and at the end they kind of, they're all there, and it's worked for all of them individually. And that's my favourite part of the show. But as I say, you know, certainly the interacting with the audience is the biggest risk part. But certainly also can be the best bit. You know, it's the bits that people will go home and remember, rather than me standing there playing with a pack of cards or whatever I could be doing. I was thinking about this the other day, and I was watching comedians, and I don't know if you've seen... for example, Dara O'Brien's show or Jimmy Carr's show, and a lot of their show is them talking to the audience and then them responding to the audience, you know, sort of in turn. And that's what the excitement about the theatre is for me. You know, rather than me coming on with a script and reciting the same show every night to people, I like that sort of unpredictability of it. There's that sense of feeling that what's going on in the theatre that night will never happen again, has never happened before. And that's what I love about it. It's creating something that only the 400 people in the room are experiencing, and only the 400 people in the room will ever experience.
Well, that's interesting, because you always think of magicians as being the people who are really in control and have sorted everything out ahead of time with their unearthly powers. But you're speaking as though you're completely out of control, really.
Well, it's in parts, really. You know, so the basis of the show is magic tricks, right? I've probably got, you know, 9 magic tricks in the first half, 9 magic tricks in the second half, something like that. You know, and once they're sorted, it's everything else that comes on top of that. You know, so if I came on and just did those, then the show would be okay. But what I want to do is I create stuff that is funnier and has got more to it, and there's more of me talking, and there's, you know, more of the audience interaction. So the important bits, the parts of the trick, I'm very in control of. And I've, you know, once you've done it enough times, you can kind of are aware of everything that could go wrong and how you're going to deal with them, you know. And so I've been doing this forever and ever. And so everything I do in my show, I've got every eventuality covered in the back of my mind. And then it's all, what happens on top is I like the audience in talking and to me, you know, not to each other. But I like the audience talking to me, and I like them shouting out. There's a line in my show now where I was doing a corporate show a couple of weeks ago, and I do a thing where I swallow needles. And I had a guy in this corporate show who was quite drunk shout out, "Looks like you've got a stitch." And I was like, yep, writing that one down. And it's those moments that are the funniest. And it is how I respond to them that are funniest for the audience as well. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of, it's I'm in control, but I'm in control of the unpredictability, if that makes sense.
What got you into doing the magic in the first place? Because, as we may say, you are the nephew of the late, great Paul Daniels.
Yeah, I am indeed. I'll tell you what, I was thinking about this the other day, is there's probably a handful of moments in at the beginning of my life, you know, sort of when I was naught to probably 10, that I remember with, you know, the clarity that... the moments that inspired me to do this, you know, when I was younger, I didn't really know what it was. I didn't meet another magician until I was probably 15, and it was just a job that my aunt and uncle used to do. You know, I didn't think anything more of it, but I just fell in love with it. You know, I remember going to see their show when I was probably 3 years old, and the feeling I got, and the way the lights sort of whisked them their way around the theatre, and the way it sort of built up tension in the audience, and how I felt, and that sort of love of magic and the love of the theatre. And that's why, really, and I've done it ever since then. You know, I remember putting on shows for my year at school on stuff that I'd come up with and made up the methods for myself, and you know, I hadn't learnt them from anyone other than myself and looking in the mirror, and I was in year one, so I must have been 6 or 7 and doing shows to my whole year at school. And that's why I got bitten by the bug when I was younger, and I've done it ever since.
What do you think of people who do card tricks over YouTube and people who do that sort of thing?
So card tricks on YouTube?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've got a big love for card tricks, really. I do a lot of my close-up stuff. When I get booked to do parties, and I do quite a lot of sort of corporate events and that kind of stuff, a lot of it is card tricks, because it breaks down a lot. Firstly, for me, approaching someone, they know what to expect, you know. But it kind of breaks down a lot of the explaining you need to do, because people know there's 52 different cards in there, and so you've got a lot of tools to work with. There's an old saying that I heard someone say once that was, you've got 52 props and they fit in your pocket, and that's essentially what it is, you know. And there's sort of a realm of creativity that comes with that. In terms of YouTube magicians in general, you know, there's a lot of them that are... what my uncle used to say is, you know, people who are younger, you know, sort of under the age of 15 probably, were never alive to see him on telly, but they used to watch him on YouTube, and that's how they sort of came to know about him and come to the show. So there's a lot of power in doing magic on YouTube. I suppose.
Okay. What is your favourite magic trick ever performed?
That's a good question. There's a few, I would say. There's a few. I've got my favourite for me to perform. There's a trick that I do with cards that, for my close-up stuff, I love doing. And then there's a thing I do at the end of my stage show involving a watermelon, which I won't give too much away, which is my favourite thing to perform. My favourite thing to see is... there's two. There's an illusion and a smaller trick. One of which, both of them are my uncle's, and it's more about the presentation of them than the trick themselves. So there was a thing that my uncle did with a cup and a ball, which I'm sure lots of people remember, and it's certainly on YouTube. It got voted sort of like the fourth best magic trick of all time or something on a Channel 5 show a little while ago. That's my favourite all-round thing. You know, that's my favourite for sort of everything, you know, the way the things that he's played on to make it work and the humor in it. And then in terms of an illusion, there was a thing that they did, and this is purely because of how I remember seeing it when I was, you know, 5 or 6, and they still did it. My uncle and his son did it on Penn and Teller on their Fool Us show a couple of years ago, and it's Phantom of the Opera, and my uncle's on stage. And he levitates my auntie, makes her vanish, and then he takes off his Phantom of the Opera mask, and it's not him anymore, it's his son. And I remember being in a theatre, probably when I was, as I say, 6 maybe, and in the boxes that you hear a whistle, and you look up in one box and my uncle's up there, and you hear a whistle from the other box, and you look up there and my auntie's there. And just the wow moment, you know, of the totally unexpected, you know, the sort of shock of it. one of the really strong memories of going to see their show when I was younger, and I sort of love it for that. There's lots of other stuff, you know. I like a lot of levitation stuff, you know. I like watching lots of people do levitations and just the clever things, you know, the real sort of clever sort of uses of misdirection, particularly. So for anyone that doesn't know what that is, it's the whole audience is focusing on one point when it reveals they should have been looking at another point, that's where the wow moment is, you know. So there's an old magician whose name was Harry Blackstone Jr. And he was around in the 80s. I think he probably died in the 90s, if I remember rightly, maybe a little bit later than that. And he used to walk an elephant onto the stage in plain sight, but he had the whole audience looking somewhere else that none of them saw it. And I like things like that. I think they're really clever and they're really funny.
Okay, so you said the cup of wool trick, it's so much about the presentation.
Yeah.
So is it the... And you were saying earlier about how you've got 9 tricks on each half, but
yes,
it's more about what you're saying in between them.
Yeah,
Is that exactly what stage magic is for you?
The thing with me, I was thinking about this the other day, is my show is talking to the audience. You know, my job is nothing more than to communicate to the audience and for them to feel as part of this thing and then to go away having a good time. There's big shows. There's Siegfried and Roy, who used to have a big show in Las Vegas, who were this big spectacle with large illusions and tigers and lions and this kind of thing. And that's one style of show. And my style of show is talking to the audience and making them laugh. And so, yeah, I guess it is. You know, my show is much more about what's happening in the room and me being on stage and talking to the audience than it is for the tricks themselves. You know, the tricks should take care of themselves. I remember my uncle talking about it in his show, and he said it was called going home magic, you know, and you would go and you'd have a really good time and you'd find it really funny and you'd be laughing and you'd be in hysterics, and it would be in the car on the way home where you go, oh wait, how did he do that? And that kind of thing, you know. But essentially, my job is to have people have a good time. You know, I could come on stage. You know, if you think of Tommy Cooper, who everyone loved him. You know, he used to have him in hysterics, and they used to go and have a great time with not one of his tricks going right. And that's what I want to build. I want to build something that it doesn't matter if, you know, it doesn't matter what happens with the tricks, and the more amazing for them, the better. That's got to be a given. But if you take those away, that the audience still have an amazing time, and that's what I want to create.
Well, that's a good attitude.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Just a few formal things. When is your show at the Playhouse?
So it's Epsom Playhouse, and it's on the 9th of February. So that's next Friday. I don't know when this is being aired, but I'll say this bit anyway, and you can sit this bit out if it's not. So if you book tickets between now and the end of January, then there's £5 discount off the tickets just from now until payday. And then after payday, it's the normal price that's at the theatre. We're selling really, really well, so get in quick. You know, we've probably got 30% of the tickets left to go, and this is where it starts to get really busy in the build up to the show, when there's a little bit of excitement around it. So I'd love to have as many people there as possible.